Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy 12 Kyle from the Rap Soul Podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in as you do each and every week. I really do appreciate it. I also wanted to offer a programming note. This particular episode, the Rap Soul Podcast Classic, is an old episode. And for some, it may have been something that they've heard before because it was initially on the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast, back in 2016. But I wanted to give it to you guys here because the thing is that many of you didn't know my podcast existed in 2016. And the great thing about these episodes is that the information has not changed. It's not dated, and it's going to sound and feel as fresh as it did back then. So sit back and relax and check out this new episode from the Rap Soul Podcast Classic. I appreciate it. 5,000. Yo, thanks again for checking out another edition of the 12 Kyle Podcast. I'm 12 Kyle, but you know that. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. You can find a podcast just about anywhere. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Overcast FM, Pocket Cast, Google Play, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, now on my own YouTube channel. So really, there's no reason not to subscribe to the podcast. All right, so check it out. Here's what we're going to talk about today. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know that this what we're doing now is featuring some albums this year that are actually turning 20 years old. Hip-hop albums that are turning 20 years old. And today we're going to talk about one, July 2nd, 1996, De La Soul drops Stakes Is High. And it's crazy when you think about it, 'cause it's like, you think to yourself, damn, it's been 20 years, but it actually has been 20 years. Now, you know, De La Soul, if you don't know who De La Soul is, De La Soul obviously is three members, Paz the Noose, whatever you want to call him, plug one, my man True Goy to the Dove, or Dave, and Mace, three cats from Long Island, and they let you know that they're from Long Island. And of course, obviously, the group was formed in 1987. Now, what's interesting about this particular group and this particular podcast is that, unlike some of the other ones, podcasts that we've done, artists were on their first album, second album, so forth and so on. This was actually De La Soul's fourth studio album. They had dropped 3 Feet High and Rising in 1989, came back in 91 with De La Soul Is Dead, and Balloon Mind State in 1993. So this was the fourth go round. One of the things that stood out about this album was the absence of Prince Paul, the guy who actually founded the group, legendary Prince Paul. So that was crazy in and of itself. But you have to kind of remember what was the backdrop of what was actually going on in July of 1996. I think really at that particular time, hip hop was very, very, what's the word I want? It was very visual. I mean, like it was about, I mean, hip hop has always been flossy or what have you, but it was very visual. You had the Hype Williams videos, and, you know, the shiny suit era was coming in. And I mean, you know, you had guys that was just coming out that were just really, really flashy. And, you know, it really gave way to a culture that was becoming kind of overblown as far as your money was concerned, very money obsessed. Very misogynistic. And that's where hip hop was. And you also have to keep in mind that at that particular time, the East Coast, West Coast beef was going on. And, you know, for the most part, De La Soul and the whole Native Tongue collective that they belong to, they really weren't involved in that. They were kind of in the middle, but, you know, they didn't necessarily side on the East Coast or West Coast or whomever. They were in the middle, and what they were trying to do was make a statement as the quote unquote Jiggy era was unfolding. And they did. Oh man, this album, this is a dope album. This is one of the best albums of 1996. I think you don't necessarily have to be a De La Soul fan, because I think relatively speaking, De La Soul was and still is very, very much underrated and slept on by the masses. I mean, they know De La Soul's hits, but you just don't know how. You have to sit down and actually listen to them and just understand how creatively and how dope they are and what they bring to the table. It was, I think at that particular time, this album was truly a breath of fresh air. You have to remember, like I said, the East Coast, West Coast beef was going on. And you know, just based on some of the albums, I'm just going to tell you what was on the charts at the time. I mean, Tupac's album was on the chart. All Eyes on Me, Fugees were already on the charts, and this is how bugged out it was and how tough the competition was. De La Soul's album dropped July 2nd. Well, the week before, Reasonable Doubt dropped. And the same day that Stakes Is High dropped, Nas dropped It Was Written. Are you serious? So you talk about competition. So but that was good, because we had all of this kind of music coming out, and it was really, really fueling the genre. Now, if you want to take a look and see where, you know, I think some of the stellar attributes to this album happen, I think you got to start with the production. Now, to their credit, and I don't think they get enough credit, but most of this album was self-contained, meaning that it was produced by De La Soul. And so that, again, in and of itself was kind of a break, because, again, they didn't have the legendary Prince Paul on this one. And he had worked with them on their previous three albums. So, you know, if you go into it, if you think back to that time, if I told you a month before the album's coming out, hey, yo, De La Soul is going to drop a new joint, but Prince Paul ain't going to be on it. I mean, like, you'd be looking like you're crazy, because he was heavily involved in all of the three projects prior to this album. So you don't have Prince Paul, but De La Soul produces most of the album. You also got help from Spearhead X, OG, my man Skef Anselm, and the legendary, in my personal opinion, the greatest producer, hip hop producer of all time. Rest in peace, J Dilla. Yes, yes. That's my man. So I thought the production, man, it really, really flows well throughout the album. And I think one of the things that kind of stands out is that the production, for as dope as the production is, it does not override what they're talking about lyrically. And De La Soul used this platform basically to, this album more or less was a mirror, if you will, to show hip hop where it was at the time and where it was actually going. And I think when you're speaking and you're diving into the lyrics, I think sometimes it's easy to get lost, particularly if you have a dope beat, because a lot of times first thing people gonna hear is the dope beat. They're not gonna be checking for your lyrics. But that didn't happen. I think for them, this was a perfect blend of dope lyrics and dope sounds. And you know, it was, the beats were just raw, but they were tight. I mean, like, they were very, very unique, very a lot of samples. The samples were really, really smooth, jazz influenced, soul influenced. But again, they did not override what De La was, you know, rapping about or anything like that. They didn't get lost in their beats. So, and that tends to happen. It didn't really happen a lot so much in the mid 90s. It did somewhat as you moved into the 2000s. But yeah, this was an incredible album. And like I said, it begins and ends with the production. Then you go down the track listening. And I mean, I could literally, talk for an hour about each song. I won't for the sake of time, but this is an incredible album, man. I mean, first the album starts off with the intro. And I thought the intro was really, really cool, because if you listen to the intro starts with snippets, and it's just dialogue of people who are talking about the first time that they heard KRS-One's Criminal Minded. And in my opinion, Criminal Minded is one of the probably top 10 hip hop albums of all time. Right. So you got that. And that was really, I thought that was dope at the time, because it was their way of paying homage to KRS-One, an MC who, preceded them. And now keep in mind, this is 1996. So, and they came out in 87. KRS said they've already been out, but, technically he's one of their contemporaries, but they're still showing him love. And I think that and that's really what hip hop was about, particularly in 1996. If you could show that love and continue to, push the culture, if you will. So then you move on to the next song, Super MCs. The chorus alone brings you, it's a tight beat. Nice samples from, I think they sampled Run DMC, sampled Lottie Dottie, a couple other songs too as well. Adventures of Super Rhyme by Jimmy Spicer. So I'm getting sidetracked here. That song I thought was dope, because they said, whatever happened to the MC? And then they said, MCing ain't for you. And again, I think this is dope, because what they're doing is hip hop at that particular time, hip hop was changing. It was moving in a different direction. Some would say that hip hop was losing its lyricism. You could make a strong case that it was. But I think that was De La Soul really talking to the industry. Whatever happened to the MC? MCing ain't for you. You out here talking about you an MC, but MCing ain't for you. So, again, I thought that was dope. Dope track. Then you move on. Let me give you a little bar. One of my favorites. I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. One of my favorite bars. Paz says, he said, within this program of rap, I'll eradicate the glitches. Yo, I'm dark like Wesley, but I be sparking more bitches. And then, and to them, my constellation put your lives in jep. While others represent, I present my rep. What? that was dope. That's like my favorite line in that song. So then you move on to, and I could do this for every song, but I'm not. Then you move on to track three, The Business, which is with my man Common. Man, this joint is so dope. I mean, first the beat comes in. Doom, doom, doom. I mean, like, if you can't bob your head to that, something's wrong. I mean, that beat is the essence of what I think, hip hop is. That's a dope ass hip hop beat. And, Common's on there. And anytime you can get other, De La was they're two dope MCs within their own rights. And so, if they put somebody on the track, like you had to spit. You couldn't come on there half stepping with De La. So, my man Common jumped on there. He said, I peep game like a referee and sole control of my destiny in the best out of 3 out of 5. I whoop anybody's ass in NBA Live. Oh my God. Are you serious? NBA Live was the joint in 1995, 96. I personally spent many hours playing NBA Live, and I pretty much whipped everybody's ass that I played. So that line had me hooked, man. I told you guys before, like a lot of times I look for a hook, you know, a little bar or two that'll kind of reel me in, man. That when he said that, I was like, yo, and I was like, yo, I'll play Common NBA Live. I'll whip his ass. Then you move on. Once again, Long Island, the next track, another banger. Then you get to number five, Dinanet, man. Dinanet is like, it is the quintessential De La banger, man. It's just, it's one of those joints where, like, you'll hear it, like, you can hear it at, like, 10 o'clock, and then, like, 2 o'clock, you're still in, it's still in your head, you're like, Dinanet, what, Dinanet. That's my joint. And again, I could break down every facet of the song, but I don't want to make a I don't want to make a 2-hour podcast. Then the next song is The Breaks. Another type one. They kind of pay homage to using the sample from Curtis Blow's The Breaks. I mean, man, it's so many. When you listen to that song, it's so many bars in that one where you just, I mean, those guys, they hooked you in. Plug One and Two, man. I mean, what can I say? I could go on and on about that track. Dog Eat Dog is the next track. I always thought this was funny because the little dog barking in the background. Now, the first couple of times I heard it, I'm going to be honest, I didn't like it. I was like, man, what is that noise? I was like, is that a dog? And I was like, I don't know about this one. So
if you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes.
This was a song that I didn't particularly care for and didn't really understand how it was on the album at my first couple of listens. After that, I was like, yo, I like this. Then the next track after that is track 8, and we go to, and that's Baby, 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 Oh Baby. Another one. I mean, like, this one is, it's a different kind of track, but you have to actually sit and listen to it. And I remember, you know, the first time I heard it, you know, they drop a couple of jewels in it, and like, they kind of fly over your head. And then you realize, like, there's a part where, I think it was Dave. Yeah, Dave was talking about what he was talking about. No, I'm sorry, it's Paz. It was Paz News. He was talking about Biggie. You know, it was kind of like, for lack of a better term, a subliminal diss. He was kind of like talking about Bad Boy, because at this particular time, Bad Boy was running hip hop. Biggie was still alive at the time, and so was Tupac. But you know, this was, you know, their battle going back and forth or whatever like that. And to be honest, I don't know if Biggie ever took offense to it. But he kind of, you know, if you listen to the track, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I mean, you should know the track, but, but yeah, listen to it and, pause. He kind of took a little swipe at Biggie. I like that joint though. Next track, track number 9, Long Island Degrees. You know, one thing I loved about De La is that they really, really put on for, where they were from. You know, they let everybody know that they were from Long Island. And I think that was interesting because, like, at that particular time, I mean, we had what? We had EPMD, we had Rakim, and De La, but you know, they weren't really, I mean, I guess I'll put it like this. If you weren't from the tri-state area, like, you heard of Long Island, but you didn't know, like, where the hell Long Island. I mean, unless you're like a geography buff like me, you didn't know where the hell Long Island was. Like, you knew it was in New York, but I mean, you didn't know. So, you know, but I thought that was really, really cool because at that particular time in hip hop, you know, all of the MCs that were coming out, they were either from Harlem or, I mean, a few from Harlem, but they pretty much was from the Bronx or Brooklyn, or Queens. And like I said, there were some from Long Island, not a lot, but they really, really put on for Long Island. Next track, Better Listen. Better Listen was different, man, because it dealt with a topic that really, really wasn't explored in depth back then. Women. I mean, it really, really dealt with women. So I think when you listen to that track, damn right, you better listen. I think, man, that track is a good track, man. And they really talk about how, you know, how a woman can be pursued and then how she reacts to a man pursuing her and so forth and so on. And then, you know, it's witty and they're spitting rhyme and they're spitting game to it, too, at the same time. So, love that track. Next one of my favorite tracks on the album, It's So Easy, man, with the lazy type horns. That song, I could go bar for bar on this one. It's So Easy, one of my favorite De La Soul songs. Not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. But a dope song. Then you got Four More featuring John A. And John A at the time was, you know, had they come out yet? I'm not even sure if they had come out yet. If they did, they were, yeah, I think they came out right around that time. But that was good. I thought that was a good look putting them on the song. Another tight song. Then you get the track 13, the Big Brother beat. Man, when I say bars, I mean bars. This one features Mos Def, and for a lot of people, not for me, but for a lot of people, this was the first time that they heard Mos Def on a track. I'd heard Mos Def prior to this, but you know, this was the first time for a lot of people that Mos Def was exposed to the masses, and he ripped it. I mean, he tore it up, man. Great track. After that, Down Syndrome, Pony Ride. Then you come to the title track of the album, Stakes Is High. This song is my favorite song on the album. I would say it's my favorite De La Soul song. Man, and again, I could go bar for bar, but I'm going to hit you with this. My man Dove said, I'm sick of bitches shaking ass. I'm sick of talking about blunts. Sick of Versace glasses. Sick of slang. Sick of half-ass award shows. Sick of name brand clothes. Sick of R&B bitches over bullshit tracks. Cocaine and crack, which brings sickness to blacks. Sick of swole head rappers with the sickening raps. Clappers and gats making the whole sick world collapse. Yo! Stakes is high, man. The stakes is high. Oh my God, he killed it. That whole song, man, is, and obviously another reason why I love the song, the beat is crazy, produced by the late great Jay Dilla. That particular song, I think, was basically the blueprint for what they wanted the album to be and then what they were saying to hip hop. You know, it, stakes is high. We're at a, they, this album basically was saying like, look, we're at a crossroads. We either got to get it right. We got to either step our game up or we got to get it right. We got to get back to, you know, spitting and, you know, having a good time and putting out this great music, or, you know, we're going to lose it. And to some degree, you know, this was a staple in what hip hop was supposed to be and the direction it was supposed to be going. And, you know, for lack of a better terms, in a lot of ways, it went in the other direction. Yeah, this particular song is, like I said, my favorite song, man. And I always found it interesting that, and I, if I ever got a chance to, you know, meet one of the guys from De La Soul, I would ask any of them, Dave, or, you know, I'd ask Paz or Mace, you know, why would you put Stakes This High at the end of the album? I always thought that was interesting. And I mean, like, from a fan's perspective, I love it because it became, like I said, one of my favorite songs, but it's at the end of the album. There's only one other track, which is Sunshine, which is a great closure to the album, I think. You know, but man, I would like to know that, because I think there has to be some reason. Because normally when you have, like, I guess, like a lead song, and this song obviously was released and they did a video for it, so forth and so on. But yeah, it was on the album. It was actually track 16 of 17. So I thought that was interesting. So yeah, that is stay. I mean, like I said, man, incredible song, incredible closure to an incredible album. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick commercial break, come back, and I'll tell you why I think this album's relevant and, you know, what impact it had on 1996. Hang on a second. We'll be right back in a second.
Was there a particular song or artist that made you feel like, this is what I want to do? Like, I want to rhyme.
In the early days, man, it was just such a phenomenon. You did it. It was just like breakdancing. Like, you had to do it. And then all of a sudden, whoever was really good at it, they kept doing it. So it was kind of like that for us, I think. It's like everyone, it just touched, went from, you know, super rapping with Grandmaster Flash on to, like, you know, whether King Tim or Sugar Hill Gang, when it just came about and you heard the tapes and people DJing, you just wanted to do it. You know what I'm saying? You wanted to be a part of that. I mean, I don't even know if they felt that way. Like, even when it really first approached, it wasn't even MCing. I wanted to DJ. Like, the DJ was the man. Like, being able to cut and listen to tapes of you cutting back and forth, and someone on mic was just doing echoes. I wasn't even really thinking from a lyrical standpoint. But hip-hop just touched you like that. And when you realize, when a friend of yours would be like, yo, you beatbox well, or yo, you can DJ well, then you start getting that positive affirmation, like, yo, okay, let me keep trying it and let's see where we can go with it.
And just like that, we're back. As I mentioned at the top, we're talking about Stakes Is High by De La Soul. The album dropped July 2nd, 1996. So it was 20 years old. My thoughts on the album are pretty simple. I think this was a dope ass album. I think, first and foremost, man, the album is lyrical. And for someone like me who really appreciates lyricism, I still go back and listen to this album quite often. And I think every time like that I listen to it, I hear something different that I didn't hear before. And I've listened to it, you know, hundreds of times. And I think that that's one of the great things about hip hop, when you can go back and listen to something that you haven't, I mean, that you're very familiar with, but you haven't heard it in a while or what have you, and you listen to it and you pick up on little subtleties of maybe a verse here or a word here that you didn't pick up on before. I think that's one of the beauties of hip hop and the musical genre that we have. So the music, I think, like I said, the production is tight. I think, you know, first and foremost, Dave and Paz, they're very complex MCs. They don't have similar styles, but they fit very well together. And I know that those guys, they probably could have done, you know, maybe wanted to do, you know, big solo projects or whatever. And I don't know if the masses would have flocked to them the way that they did De La's projects. But, you know, obviously, both of them can hold their own. It's not like, you know, you got one guy in the group that can really rap and one guy's, you know, that type of thing. No. Both are very, very well accomplished MCs that can hold their own, that can spit flames. So I think more than anything else, that's what you get from them on every song, is the fact that, you know, you're not going to have a song where plug one is down and plug two is up, or vice versa. They're going to give you raw De La Soul, raw material, and just, like I said, great lyrics. So that's one of the things I think that really stood out about this album. I think part of the reason why it's as relevant as it is and as it was in 1996 and how it is today is because, like I mentioned earlier, De La Soul with this album, they basically held a mirror up and they said, look, you know, even, and again, like I said, you look at some of the songs and, you know, and there was a couple of references. They weren't mentioning anybody by name. But, you know, I felt like they took a couple of shots at Bad Boy and, you know, maybe, well, I don't want to say Jay-Z because he wasn't out yet. But, you know, the Shiny Suit era, they took shots at that because, and they took shots at people who weren't lyrical because they're like, look, we're lyrical. This is what hip hop was about. You know, if you want to listen to that, hey, be my guest. But we're going to show you what the industry is turning into. And, you know, they, in a lot of ways, De La Soul with this album, it was a cautionary tale as to where we were headed, where we were getting away from lyricism and we're getting more into the commercialization of, you know, hip hop. And, you know, unfortunately we took that turn and, you know, we've been, we've been turning ever since. So, you know, I think it's, I think that's what this album represents. And I think that in and of itself, because De La Soul was very well accomplished. You can make a case that, well, I definitely know 3 Feet High and Rising, classic. De La Soul is Dead, classic. This album here, Stakes is High, to me, if I had to give it mics, I would probably give it 4.5 mics. And that's not to say that, you know, I mean, there's some that would give it 5 mics. There's some that would give it 4. It just really depends on who you ask, but I don't know anybody that would say, like, yo, this is whack. Because it's not. That's why. It's not a whack album. This is a dope album. And then, you know, lastly, I think one of the things that people have to understand, too, is when you listen to this album, you also have to look at what was going on. This album dropped in the summertime. And as I mentioned earlier, in July, sandwiched between Reasonable Doubt, It Was Written, and Outkast's ATLiens. So, I mean, you know, you've got these albums coming out back to back to back to back. And, you know, not to mention, as I mentioned, Tupac was on the charts. Biggie was charting. I mean, like, so there was a lot of competition. And this album more than stands up to the competition. It holds its own. Again, this is one of the best albums of 1996. Period. I don't know how to say it any better. This is one of the best albums. And keep in mind all of the albums that I've mentioned. This is the one of the best albums in 1996. And I think one of the things, you know, that really stood out to me about this album is De La Soul. Not only were they saying, hey, we're dope, we're lyrical, this is what we do, but, you know, you can also sense that De La Soul was concerned about where hip hop was going. Maybe they saw that we were getting ready to get on the whack track. I don't know. But this album, no matter where you slice it, this is a great album. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. If you haven't bought it yet, buy it. You know, and listen to it. I mean, like, it's the essence of MCing. And I think in 1996, that's about all that you could ask for. Dope beats, dope rhymes. What more could you want? Thanks again for checking out another edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. I'll holler at you next time. 5,000.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.